Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday, August 12th, 2021, where it is 9 a.m. and we are assembled, the Board of County Commissioners, in the BCC conference room for our administrative workshop. We're going to change this up just a little bit. We have an opportunity to vote on Gary Leaf, Representative Gary Leaf's position after his death. And so we are going to sit in on that election process for just a few minutes, and then we'll carry on with our business. So I will turn this microphone off for just a few minutes while we conduct this business from the legislature. Then we will shut the microphone off at 9:01. Okay, thank you very much for...
That was a strange twist.
It really was.
Appointed someone as interim rep from our southern district, vacated by the demise of death of Gary Leaf. Gary Leaf and I were in county college together. Had a great deal of respect for that man, and sorry to see him go. So with that, we're going to go into department business, and 1A is juvenile justice. Jim Goodwin, juvenile justice director, is here. And item one is State of Oregon Grant Agreement number 15676 for high-risk juvenile crime prevention services.
Did we talk about this? Sorry.
This is one of many, Commissioner. Okay. For the record, Jim Goodwin, Juvenile Justice Director for Josephine County. Good morning, Commissioners. This is yet another cord, I guess, in the braided funding that is our life over at Juvenile Justice. These biennial, you guys get a number of these every biennium. They always come in a little bit after July 1 because the state's budget usually doesn't get approved till the end of June. And so we go with estimated numbers until everything's official, and then they hammer us with all these IGAs, get it approved as soon as possible.
And this is coming out of DAS, I see.
Yes. Okay. And so the big news, page number two, this is a $100,043 grant. Basically, the origin is the Department of Ed through the Youth Development Division. Long story there, but these funds are to be used for high-risk youth that are underserved generally or not served at all. So what we do with them, a youth comes to us, we have a risk assessment that we do to assess where they are. They're basically their likelihood of penetrating deep into the system. But they come to us for a very low-level offense, like a minor in possession of alcohol or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty steep when I was running around there.
Yeah, before a few
that was
years
serious ago. Business.
So before a few years ago, these youth basically got a letter said, "Don't do that again," and they would usually do it again and again, and you know, things like that. So what we do is we use these funds to not from a punitive point of view, but we work with the kid and the family. Maybe they're having truancy issues, not getting to school, that kind of thing. We say, okay, how can we help you, you know, kind of get over the hump there? But again, not the necessarily criminal kids that come to us for assaults or things like that. They're very low level, but very high risk. And so that's what we use the funds for. It's for another 2 years. So basically $50,000 a year. And what we do is we offset the salary of our one juvenile probation staff that works directly with this population.
Okay.
Okay.
Gotcha. Perfect.
Thank you for that explanation.
Yes.
It says coming out of the coronavirus relief fund.
That's the next one.
Well, that's the next one.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it says DAS too.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right. Okay. I'm on the right page.
So I'd entertain a motion to approve the grant agreement. I'll provide Director Goodwin signing authority on this particular agreement.
I'll be glad to make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay, any further comments? No questions? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Commissioner Heller?
Yes.
Commissioner Bearchicker?
Yes.
Commissioner Heon?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0. You have signing authority, sir. Thank you for your patience this morning.
Thank you, Commissioners.
And away we go.
We didn't have to write yes on a piece of paper.
Right.
No, we one brought yes on a piece yes of paper and hold it up to the camera.
Oh, modern technology at its best.
Our microphone has been face masked. And so therefore...
Maybe Google took our microphone too.
Our technology reads lips, and because we have to wear a face mask, our microphones don't work.
Okay.
Item number two is finance report business update. Ruth Nelson, our assistant finance director, is on board to give us the state of Oregon grant agreement number 2617 for vaccine promotion.
Tell us
what this means.
This is what you discussed with Director Novak last week in the admin workshop and asked her to see if this grant is still available.
Is this the 538 that we...
Oh, yep.
It is.
Okay, that's...
It's on page two.
Yep. And the answer was yes, it is still available.
Now, is there anything, Ruth, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but it was in the paper that the mayor of Grants Pass said it is not $530,000, it is $1,060,000 because it was doubled somewhere along the line, which gave the impression to the folks out there that she was able to get $1,060,000 and we're only going to be able to get $530,000. So where did she get that information? I guess we can't answer that.
I'm not sure. I have the grant agreement here, and it has the 538.
Okay, let's start there. And then if we secure that, and then it does get another, if another fold in the paper comes up, it will go to us anyway, attached to this one. This is our first step, maybe?
It is,
In case there is further money available, it'll come through following this one.
So the grant is still available, but all of the deadlines are still in place, which are the end of August, so it's kind of a time issue.
Fast.
It needs to be signed quickly.
Do we have to have a lot of, sometimes it takes time to get in, say for instance, if we were going to get in a periodical or advertising on radio or advertising the IB News or whatever. Sometimes it can't be done. If the contract states that we have entered an agreement with IB News before the end of August, but yet the publication doesn't come out until September, I guess it would be on date of invoice because that would be when it's signed? Or does it actually have to appear in print, on air, or whatever by August 31st, 30th, or whatever?
It says,
well,
I just see here that upon signing, we would get 50% of the grant funds. And then the first deadlines for reporting is August 31st.
Reporting.
So. Yep.
Okay, I think that answers to me that if we sign up for, like, say, a month's worth of IV News, a half-page ad in IV News for the month of September, or, you know, the remainder of August, September, we sign that contract upon,
upon signing, it's 50% of the grant funds, and then after the first reporting deadline.
Reporting needs to be done by August 31st.
Well, and here I'm on page 19 of 23.
Whoa.
Grant period of performance start and end dates is March 1st to December 31st.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be a first reporting date, but I think we have a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And I do see a $1.3 million, and I don't quite understand how it got there.
What page are you on? You got my attention.
19 of 23.
1.3
billion. Oh, that's billion.
I think that's for the whole.
You're right. That's for the whole world, or, you know, United States. Okay, because I thought that matched his mayor's reference, but it does say the 538 up above.
Yeah, the performance period is until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what is due August 31st is the equity plan, so that would need to be done.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, it'd be this commissioner's intention that the City of Grants Pass is the one pursuing this primarily. Let's have them complete the equity plan, and we can approve it on the way by.
I don't even know if we can give it to the city.
I believe Public Health has already completed it.
Oh, okay. Because I don't want to do any undue work. And also, if we're going to do this, I have no intention of doing the promotion as a commissioner. I'd like to have the two cities or any other entity, Williams Community Group, could apply for funds to do some promotion. And we would go,
I think they will know
that's a great idea.
What fits in their
area the best.
Good idea.
I guess my statement is we can't just give them a check. If they want to give us ideas, we can.
Yeah, they can apply and we will award.
It has to be a screen through us.
Right. Yep.
I think that's what we were. I think when we said we didn't want it and they were going to take it, that we would lose oversight, and that's what we don't want to do.
That's what we don't want to do. That's not the intention of the governor either. It was for us to have the oversight.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
And yeah, I think it works.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think the next step would just for it to be signed, go to the weekly business session, and then also in the agreement we have to list who the point of contact will be. I think typically that would be the public health director, but
I think that would be wise.
Okay.
Yep, that's a good nexus.
This can be used for small business assistance.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it'll be fun to read. There's only 19 programs for small business assistance. Now there's 20. It's an interesting world. Okay, well, thank you, I guess, for that update.
And we will move it forward. Let's put Michael Weber as the point person on that.
Okay.
And make sure we get our equity plan in by the end of the...
We make sure that we send the message loud and clear to Michael Weber what that means, what those parameters are.
Right.
What our wishes are as a Board of County Commissioners, because
I can talk
he would not have this money to play with if we didn't ask for it. Okay?
Gotcha.
Okay.
This is interesting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Man, there's some broad language.
Don't scare yourself.
You're not going anywhere yet.
No.
Stick around for a second. Okay.
It's just broad language, you know.
Yeah.
Next thing up is, any more on A?
No, go ahead.
Okay. No, sir. We will move
it
forward.
Item 2B is extension of the Moss Adams engagement for audit services. And once again, Ruth Nelson will give us a little lowdown on this. This is pretty much housekeeping, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Moss Adams has been doing the financial audit for the past 4 years. This would be for a fifth year. This would just need a signature.
So it's like a contract extension that was allowed.
It is an extension. Okay. It's the final extension before we need to do an RFP.
Renegotiate. So.
Okay. I don't have any problem. Our history with Moss Adams is...
Yeah. And we're already married up to them through some of this coronavirus reporting and all that, so let's keep them on.
I have no problem with that. We will move that to the weekly business session also.
Great.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Item number 3 is other business that needs to come forward. We did take care of another business thing with that election.
Of things. One of them is.
You want to wait until Commissioner Bearcher is back here so he gets the full impact of what we're getting ready
to do. You
want
me to do
about.
Some hold music?
Do you have
do,
some music on
do,
hold?
Do, 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 do. I could do it. Lady from Empanina. I could do it. got off an airplane.
Now I know why our speakers failed.
I got off an airplane in Hong Kong one time, and they were playing The Lady of Ipanema on the radio, on the overhead speakers, and I'm like, in English.
I spent 2 weeks in Hong Kong in 1971. One of my favorite places in the whole world was Hong Kong.
Yeah, it was a very interesting spot.
Interesting city. Never sleeps. Well, you think Vegas is busy. That's.
I got two things to bring up under other business. One was... I got a couple of emails asking us to consider moving next Wednesday's meeting to 5:30 so that we still have a once a month at 5:30. Okay. So I wanted to bring that before the board.
Don't have a problem with that.
Nope.
Now
that we're out of fair week.
Yeah, we're out of fair week, and that gives people a chance that work during the day.
We always have such a big crowd.
We do. we had a light crowd yesterday because I think of the last minute change. But yeah, lately we've been having a crowd. My other thing to bring up is because of the governor's order to wear masks indoors, I think it goes into effect tomorrow, Friday, do we need to come up with a policy for our Josephine County employees?
Well, I think JJ's going to talk to us about that, aren't you, JJ?
And that's how he gets on the agenda.
He's under matter for commissioner.
I guess I'm going to have to polish up my Zoom machine again.
Yes, get your studio ready.
Yeah. I'd much rather not be in this part of the agenda, but as it is.
Here we are.
So I'm sure as all you did, I watched the governor's orders. It hasn't been posted yet, the executive order, so what it actually says, I don't know, but the official press conference just says mask mandate for indoor space, kind of like last time.
So can I wear a Lone Ranger mask?
Because
if there's no face
covering... There's usually a definition with it, but...
Haven't seen the definition. My guess is it'll be the same as last time.
Probably.
And so the enforcement mechanism is OSHA when it concerns a county.
That's what I'm asking about. Now, I'm going to go out to Sunday to Home Depot, mm-hmm. or any place, and there's not going to be probably half the people masked and half not. What's the enforcement?
But that's not our responsibility.
I guess OSHA figures they've got an army of people. I noticed it was really interesting, and I'll say this for the record, that the Gold Miner restaurant was fined $18,000. Mm-hmm. And they can look that up if they would like to. They were fined $18,000, but in no time did they tell them to close the restaurant and stop what they said was she was putting her employees at risk, and fined her $18,000. For putting her employees at risk because she stayed open. And she stayed open anyway. That tells me that questions their motive in doing it in the first place. Are they, you know, to me, is the motive to let's set up another ball game to where we can, OSHA can crank out a bunch more fines? Because that's what it's looking like to the people walking up and down the street. Not politicians, of course, and nobody in this building, and nobody in city government or anything else. But what happens if, I guess OSHA could walk into this building and fine Josephine County, mm-hmm. and the Board of County Commissioners for putting their employees at risk?
Yeah, we got a warning once to that effect.
Okay.
I will say that we have some contacts in OSHA, and I'm quite confident they're not happy about this because they were so insanely overwhelmed last time they had mandates, and they're like, oh no. So,
I would be concerned for my safety, my own physical safety, and I mentioned that to the governor one time, that I cannot guarantee the safety of her employees, and OSHA inspectors are her employees that answer directly to the governor, or to whoever it is, Bureau of Labor and Industries up there, whoever it is.
Yeah.
I said, you are, by doing this, I can't guarantee the safety of your employees in Josephine County. Just word on the street. So, aren't you in just as much violation? Quick.
It's got some political overtones.
Yeah. It's got a lot of political.
But as a county,
I wouldn't want to be in their seat.
I would say if I were OSHA inspector, I would agree.
What do we do here? Is the best answer to make sure we don't get in any kind of trouble at all, just lay everybody off and tell them all to go home, and Josephine County is hereby shut down?
Our best thing is to stay in our lane, do what we have jurisdiction over, which is our employees, and to follow the state guidelines.
And we can keep questioning the state guidelines.
Yes. We have no business telling any business to do anything.
No.
They hear the mandates just like we did. They can make their own choice.
The question that I got from the restaurant owner Sunday morning, are you going to shut us down again? I said, we never shut you down in the first place. But just on that tone, we're going to get blamed for it. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what President Biden says. I don't care what Kamala Harris says. We are going to get blamed for it. The blame stops right here.
Right. And we're going to lose credibility because of it.
Again.
And we lose credibility. Yeah. And then they ask us to step up to the microphone and support their policies, and it's pretty tough to do that.
Right, and I will end up wearing a mask against my will because I want that business to stay open. It has a lot of the flavor of last time. But I'm wondering if this is the time for some resistance, because I don't think putting a mask on a second grader is going to save our hospitals from being overwhelmed. It doesn't make sense on the face of it. And our governor is doing a blanket policy, not targeting a specific group that is vulnerable, just a blanket policy to cover the whole state, regardless of what's going on in any county. So it doesn't make sense, and I can't believe they're trying it again. But where's our choice? The insurance companies insuring these businesses are going to not cover them if there's an outbreak. There's that real possibility. and then OSHA could fine. That's another real possibility. And so it is an interesting time to try and resist, because it's set up in many ways to go ahead and get you anyway.
Well, I think when it comes to a business, from what I'm understanding, it's not crystal clear, but a business cannot mandate their customers to wear masks. They cannot get fined for their customers not.
No, the customers. They can do it with the customers.
As long as the employees have their masks on.
Yeah, you are putting your employee at risk by saying.
It is really interesting.
And there again, it's just like a lot of the places, smaller businesses, are saying they're not my employees, they're family members.
Right.
They're all volunteers. But they're trying to screw you. I want to see what the governor's actual word for word executive order says. I want to know what she's going to do to churches. And if she singles out churches again, I'm going to be really upset.
Well, you know, I am.
If she closes the religious community down in any way, shape, or form, which it sounds like she's going to do, and we're going to go right back to no church on Sunday because it's too many people in one spot.
I'm really glad that in this mandate, there is no shutting down of any sector yet. And so that may still be coming, but thank God that's not a part of the first round.
I'm equally nervous about the same thing.
The second round.
I had an interview with a newspaper, a pretty good-sized newspaper in Oregon yesterday. And the guy said, well, do you feel, you know, picked on by the governor all of a sudden turning this back over to the counties? And I said, to be quite honest with you, that's what the counties wanted all along from the very beginning, because Josephine and Jackson had no cases, but Portland and Multnomah had the cases, and she was going statewide just with a whole blanket. And we said, why don't you do this county by county? Well, be careful what you ask for, because now it is falling on the county. And that's what we have to look at now. And we won't shirk from that duty. And
but
I think
Mr.
I agree,
Chair, how do we,
I agree with Commissioner Fowler that she throws out the mandate, we have to follow the rules because we're...
How do we make decisions with the kind of information we get?
It's hard.
I mean, I just heard the Johnson & Johnson vaccine does not...
Impossible.
Does not protect you from not getting the virus. It helps you, your survival rate a lot more.
Right.
So that means you can get the Johnson vaccine. Think this through. You can get the Johnson vaccines, which still says you can get the virus. Okay, but yet you got a card that says I've been vaccinated. So even though you're vaccinated with a vaccine that you could get the virus, you can get around with your little card and be spreading the virus.
And you could go online and buy a card.
I mean, there's just too many things that don't make sense.
And you can go online and buy a vaccine.
Can I interrupt you guys for a moment?
Let me.
Do I need to get to the second floor to go to court?
Okay, you have to go out.
Go out the elevator.
Yeah. Wendy, you play, yeah.
Yep.
Sure how to get there.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. So the next question is, if we are going to follow the governor's mandate for Josephine County employees, what about our meetings? Are we going to meet in person with masks? Are we going to get back to Zoom?
I'm zooming it. I'm zooming it.
I think, you know, and this is going to go contrary to what we said earlier in the thing about having our moving to an evening meeting, and there was supposed to be, because we moved from a evening meeting to a morning meeting, we've received feedback back. Well, I had 100 people that were going to show up, and you moved the meeting. Did you do that so we couldn't be heard? And that wasn't the case. We did it because of fair. I'm surprised we're having any meetings during fair week, to be honest with you, anyway, because we historically, we generally basically don't have meetings. And we've had more meetings this week than we've ever had. So I don't know if it's just a build up and we all of a sudden the dam broke or what. But I think if we go back, I think that in my mind, it cuts out a whole bunch of the public because they don't have the ability to Zoom. Mm-hmm. I disagree with that. But I don't want to be singled out that you're not following the guidelines. That's
so
what I really do want to see what the guidelines
the only, say about only way to comply in person without a mask would be for us to move this table out there on the grass and have our meetings.
We could do that.
It'd be a little noisy by 6th Street, but
I don't care.
It sure be public.
I know you're kind of joking, but to be honest, you can have an outdoor meeting, maybe not out here, but you can move it to a place that's a little quieter. You can
that was the first thing I thought of.
You can have a meeting in a park.
The parking lot of Marie Hill Conference Room.
We got this
over.
Area to the north of the
Yep, that's a little more.
Mm-hmm. But if you want to have an in-person meeting outside, the mandate says indoor space is required for masks. If you want to have an outdoor meeting, it's perfectly compliant.
So let's, maybe we should leave it up to the chair to decide, and let's have a few more discussions
let's
before we do
it. Let's see what the logistics look like to have an outdoor meeting. I honest to goodness.
Well, you need an area about as big as this room.
Right.
well,
and a microphone.
In December, we have more people show up at our Wolf Creek meetings than we do Corpus Red.
That's right. well, and Cape Junction has, our health department director is calling me.
I think.
To take that.
Yes, take it.
I don't know if he wants to get
yeah.
Yes,
I've invited Wright. The health director to join. That's
we're still
my
in our 9 a.m. meeting.
No, this is my matters under the commissioners. Is that phone call?
Who's giving it? Okay, and so is it addressing the National Guard issue? Okay, thank you, Michael. I'll tell the other commissioners. All right, thanks. There's a press conference at 11 in Jackson County to address the hospital situation. So, and it may touch on.
Wasn't he going to join us here?
I sent him the link.
No,
I want him to join. I have some questions because my head's on fire with all of this. Numbers and I don't know how do we make decisions as three commissioners, and we don't even know what we're making decisions on. How do we do that? Are these
it's the blame game? They've got us to blame, so no matter what happens.
Is there a possibility you could join our meeting?
Just put him on speakerphone right here.
Okay.
Just
you
set
have
your phone
link?
Down and put it on speakerphone.
I could just put you on speaker on my phone if you'd like. It'll be recorded. Okay. So, Chair, our health department director is joining us via cell phone.
Okay. Go ahead, Michael.
Okay. Michael, I had some questions. You know, it's been really bothering me. It seems like we're going to get the task of the commissioners of making more and more decisions on COVID. But we need some good information to make those decisions. So here's some things that I've heard just recently, is that 91% of the COVID patients that it has been at the hospital, administered or admitted to the hospital, have been vaccinated, or have not been vaccinated, I'm sorry. I don't know if
I don't know the exact percentage, Commissioner, but it is the vast majority are unvaccinated, correct?
Okay, and then in the Courier put in that 19% of the people that are coming down with COVID have already been vaccinated, so I don't know if that's a good number.
I can get you the best percentages we have. Do you want the count your region, because hospital data is by region. Do you want the county and region, or do you want the state, or would you like both?
The region, that's what we're dealing with.
Okay. I can do that.
And then I heard that 59% of the COVID patients were Caucasian. That leaves 40% not, and because you and I had the conversation over, immigrant farm workers or whatever you want to
the politically correct word is,
right? And so is that a good number?
59%, it doesn't sound right, but I don't have exact numbers, but I can get those for you as well.
Okay, and here's what I want from here on out. When we get numbers from you and statistics, I need you to cite the source.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, we can do that.
Okay, because we're going to be making these decisions, and I don't want the Pat Fahey's and the Charlie Chase's to pull things out of the air and write them and put them in the Courier. I want to make sure we're dealing with the facts, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, thank you, sir. I know I don't want to be a big burden, but this thing has spun out of control of he said, she said, what's that? And I want to work on facts. I do better that way.
I can do that. I have been just coincidentally been getting tied up on Thursday mornings. Would you like me to resume Thursday morning briefings with these numbers?
How about
or
Wednesday?
Or do you want me to just send them to you?
I'd like them Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday.
Okay. I'll see if we can clear Tuesdays at 9, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, commissioners. You too.
Okay. JJ, I think what we're going to have to do is, first off, let's see what the actual governor's actual executive order says. Then I need a layout as to exactly how much of that falls on the commissioner's lap, because we are not the medical profession. I think Commissioner Beartrigger had a very good point on we need the facts, because we're fact-checked at every
that looks familiar.
Every meeting we are fact-checked of, you know, that we said something wrong, that it was 41%, not 59%, and so on and so forth. So we need exact numbers and their source.
And can we add to the record that Commissioner Bartschiger has stepped away from the meeting at 10:06?
Yes, it is 10:06. And with that, if we don't have anything else for matters other than the fair's on.
Well, so we're going to have a memo on Monday?
So it's supposed to take effect tomorrow.
Right.
So what I would ask is if you'll allow me to send an email out saying that governor's order is effective tomorrow. I'm hoping that it's posted. I looked before, right before this meeting, I looked, it wasn't posted yet.
Right.
Because it's very helpful if I can have the exact.
I think we can say that the governor's order goes in tomorrow, and we will be adhering
to the governor's
order.
Yeah.
Yep.
Further clarification to follow. I would prepare the mask signs up, and I don't think I'd go overboard and have great big sign mask here and, you know, squirt here and do this and do that,
just
and
a little
sneeze into a bag and
need.
Send it off to the lab. I don't think we need to do any of that. It's going to be very. I told Tamara out at the fairgrounds, put up the masking sign. Most of your activities are outdoors, but on every entrance to the building, just put a sign, mask required.
That's all.
And
we need
to do. And I don't know how we would ever possibly enforce it, ever.
It's going
to
be.
And if OSHA shows up to the county fair and wants to write, who's the employee? They're all outside working the ground. So I just think this thing is a real. It put it this way, if the first one would have been more legitimized and not been
you
so bad,
media release on the
second 10th. One would be easier to enforce. And I don't
it
think it's
well.
Going to happen. Then.
Yeah, I have that right.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll get the signs ready to go. We'll kick it into gear tomorrow morning. Make sure all employees know that if they're working inside, they have to mask up.
And we gave the chair authority to make decisions on our meetings.
Yes.
So
we're going to figure out what we're going to do. We're going to get a little creative on our meetings.
Okay.
Let's do it that way. The chair will work with staff,
yep.
And we're going to get a little bit creative on our meetings. So we have to see what logistics are for microphones and stuff like that.
Okay. You got it, buddy.
Okay. So with that, we will be adjourned. This meeting will be over at 10:08. Thank you very much for your contribution.
Thanks, Ruth.
Today.